Good morning. Today is Friday, December the 27th. Joining us this morning, it's kind of like a tag team here. I'm a little...
Are you feeling intimidated?
Mm-hmm. No, not by you guys. You're just kind of put in the corner. Linda Wise from Humboldt Recology in, I guess, Del Norte.
Well,
also?
No, I'm Recology Humboldt County.
Oh, did I get
Eel
the
River and Recology?
That's right. You're running. You're running the valley now. Too. You,
yes.
You know, you are a power queen.
I
just say yes. You're okay.
Yes, I am.
All right, there we go. And Jill Duffy from Humboldt Waste Management.
Hi.
All right. Why do we say that? You guys ready? Let her rip. Why do we use the expression let her rip to mean to let everything go as it will?
Is it a surfing reference?
No.
No.
Paper?
Well.
No.
Well, maybe if you're going so fast that it tears the universe.
Ooh, that's a good answer.
Okay. Wrong. The rip
Hot
is
rods?
The rip is a callous pun on R.I.P., the Latin inscription placed on gravestones, rest in peace, right?
Oh.
This phrase means rest in peace. When we let her rip, we let her do just the opposite. That's what the book says. You're as confused as I am, though, huh? You want to go for another one?
Yes.
Yeah. Strike all of that.
Lieutenant. Why does a lieutenant general outweigh a major general or outrank?
Give us the book.
No. The next one was lily-livered, okay? So lieutenant's okay.
Well, lily-livered might mean that you've had too much booze and it's turning
yellow.
Lily color.
Okay. Well, the question is, why do we say a coward is lily-livered? Because the ancient Greeks believed that the liver was the seat of passion. Dark bile indicated strong passion, light bile, weakness.
See, there you go.
The person whose bile was lily-colored or white had no guts at all.
There we go.
Good thing this isn't a biology class. Things could get ugly really quick.
Yes.
One scalpel, that's all it would take. Oh, so what is the biggest hang-up you guys have got about the Christmas holiday season? Professionally speaking,
the biggest hang up?
Yeah, what's the biggest challenge? The biggest problem? The biggest
hang up per
okay.
se. I mean,
challenge
but we
might
do,
be.
But we do typically see a pretty significant increase to solid waste come through. Certainly the transfer station, and we see a lot of Christmas trees coming in after the holidays.
So, what is the solid waste that's coming through? Are people throwing out their Christmas gifts already?
Well, I think what is happening is we've got additional food that's being consumed during the holidays. You know, people coming over, and also there's also the byproduct of, you know, our purchasing. So, you know, if you're getting a lot of stuff like through Amazon or and that kind of stuff, there's all that packaging that's coming through your online shopping that we're seeing a lot more of that. So
I'm kind of surprised that with all of the PC positioning that Amazon and some of the other outfits do, that they wouldn't be using cardboard, maybe in the worst case scenario, but everything that would be quickly biodegradable. I mean, you would just think that the messaging that they have, that would be just kind of an automatic, and that you would be almost looking forward to those boxes that have the smile on the side instead of...
Well, the problem has happened is that over the last couple of years, with the passage of some international laws, in particular with China, with the national sword, there's just not the demand for the kind of shrink wrap and the bubble wrap that is inside those boxes, and so
as a secondary market,
any longer. So those kind of things are turning into waste, and I think that it's just going to take a while for the ship to turn, for people to realize that that's, and for the people that are packaging things to realize that it is not.
Well, they don't use those. Market. They don't use those peanuts anymore, do they?
No, but there's a lot of bubble wrap. But there's
yeah.
like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, what's more fun than popping bubbles?
No.
But fortunately, you know,
currently,
you know, the cardboard is still recyclable. You know, there's always a challenge, and you know, with the domestic mills, you know, just you know, because the amount of backlog material that they have. But it certainly is better than some of the plastic packaging that some of the companies, even with Amazon, have been doing. Certainly, they're a lot lighter. For shipping purposes, they oftentimes take up less space than a box is going to take up, but it is not without you know, its own sorts of issues around not something that can be recycled. So we see an uptick in trash. But before we actually talk about kind of the shipping stuff, I think the bigger thing around, you know, like the holiday season, if you will, is that people have a tendency to kind of take a look around and say, you know, what is it time to kind of change out? So it's not just the material that's coming in and getting rid of the product packaging, if you will, but it's also, oh, we're going to upgrade our new disc sets, or we're going to get the new, you know, KitchenAid mixer or anything else for the home. And then we see that material getting thrown away, and some of it may actually still be usable. The other thing that we see
it's kind of surprising, because I would think with Craigslist and some of the eBay stuff that everybody would be trying to sell whatever it is on the electronic rummage sale platform.
I think that would be great if more people would do that, but that too is kind of time consumptive, and you know, the world that we're in right now, people kind of want to be able to, you know, move a little bit faster and maybe not have to deal with people, you know, giving them a call or anything else like that. The other thing is around e-waste. You know, so we're always trying to go after the latest, greatest, you know, gadgets, and sometimes it's replacing other, you know, items. And so making sure that e-waste is being properly disposed of, you know, and whatnot. So it's more, you know, around the holidays, we typically will start seeing a lot of different materials coming in, not just product packaging, but also those things that people are, you know, changing out, if you will.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jill Duffy from Humboldt Waste Management and Linda Wise from Recology Everywhere.
That is probably like a good one? Way to put
That's
it for
a good
her.
One.
Yeah, okay. do you see differences in the various communities, what products are put in the waste stream?
Kind of, sort of. We have definitely seen some differences, and the way I'll sort of characterize it is, you know, generally most communities have very similar material that they're getting rid of, but sometimes there's a change in the volume of material. So, for instance, if we're looking at, let's say, Eureka versus Blue Lake, you know, if you were to break it down in terms of what people are generating, you know, individually by household, as well as some of the commercial sectors, you may see more organic waste coming out of Eureka residents than you will Blue Lake. And that is primarily because there's no big eating establishments that are in Blue Lake. So they don't have to wrestle as much with some of the organics reduction because they just don't see that kind of, you know, generation.
It's kind of funny because I would think that the restaurants would be really measuring portions really tight so that they wouldn't have the waste because, you know, the waste going out, they could either save it for the next guy if it wasn't on the plate, or the cost of disposal of the stuff.
That certainly would be a really ideal way in which to be reducing, you know, food waste from, you know, post-consumers after they've gotten it on their plate. And I think that wise business people, you know, restaurateurs, if you will, are going to take a look at that back end. What kind of material are we getting rid of? And maybe we should be looking at reducing the portions, you know, in this area, because ultimately they're then going to be paying to get rid of that material. And it's a lot more expensive to get rid of waste at the back end than if they were to be, you know, sort of taking a look at an audit to see how they could be more efficient with
their
portion sizes.
Where does food go? Does that end up at your house, Linda?
Currently, no.
Well, it doesn't end up at her house.
Yeah. But I will also dovetail on what she was just saying about that. It's also another thing that can happen at restaurants is to encourage people to take that, you know, their leftovers home with them, and yep. they can have it for the next day for lunch.
I've heard that theoretically, that this thing called leftovers do exist.
Yeah.
We've never experienced it personally. But
well, that's because you're eating all your dinner.
We do see a lot more food in this time of year in the garbage that we're collecting through the commercial areas, you know, so down in Fortuna as well, seeing a lot more of that kind of material.
Now, is that compostable?
It is, but we don't have a
permitted
facility here to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's only one permitted composting facility, and that is for green waste, and that's operated by West Green Landscaping. And there is also a fellow who has been operating vermiculture, being able to process food waste using worms, and that's the worm guy. And so there are a number of folks that are availing to those two services. The composting operation is specifically prohibited from taking food waste. So when people
Is it just a different
thing? It's actually part of the permit they have with the county.
Oh.
And so it was a result of some concerns when they were initially getting permitted back in 2001, 2002 or thereabouts. So, Linda and I have had this conversation quite a bit, which is, finding ways to encourage people to be doing more backyard composting, because when you have, let's say, a food waste collection program, and let's say that Recology was operating it, you'd be putting your, food waste into a bin. They would then be running a truck and a person to come pick up that food waste to take it to a processor, and then there'd be costs that are associated with the processing. It's a lot less expensive, for the community if we're able to kind of all do this more collectively, to be walking our food waste out into our backyard and using our own composting or our own vermiculture. And, so our overall footprint and our greenhouse gas emissions that are related to it are significantly reduced, as well as the cost to be handling that material. And that is one of the big things. People are concerned about the cost of handling organics, the cost of handling recycling, the cost of handling, solid waste.
So that wouldn't qualify as biomass?
No. It does not qualify as biomass.
I mean, it's biological mass. I mean, look at a turkey
biomass
carcass,
in the more traditional sense has been, wood waste used for hog fuel and electrical generation. Right. And simply, it's too wet.
Oh, there's just too much moisture in
just
it.
Just too much moisture.
Oh, okay. That's right. You wouldn't want to. Well, I suppose that there are a couple of really dried out turkeys after Christmas. But
you may not have high BTUs.
Yeah.
By that time.
So it's interesting that the county, as much as there's been lip service recognition, whatever we want to say, to recycling, that there's not a permitted compost facility.
There is a permitted compost
that could handle for the entire county. Yeah.
What that's going to require is everybody agreeing to work in a regional sense. And at this point, the various jurisdictions have been wanting to undertake a series of steps, sort of jurisdiction by jurisdiction, in terms of seeing what they could do about food waste recovery, seeing about composting and whatnot like this, and has been done individually.
We will pursue this after the break. It's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism, because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Linda Wise and Jill Duffy. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, along with Murphy's Markets. Is there a significant difference between the residential and commercial? Not in the food category, but the other areas. Do businesses account for a significantly larger percentage than the residents do on a per-person basis, or do we tend to have a lot more stuff we throw away at home rather than at the shop?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know that it's measured.
We were referencing that before the show. that was
it's
one
a space
of the,
filler.
The new cool phrases, yeah.
As opposed to the dead air that I gave.
Right, right.
I think that it's not really measured that way, but there have been studies over the years that look at the differences between residential and commercial garbage. And in general, commercial garbage has a lot more weight and bulk to it than residential garbage.
But it's also going to depend on what kind of commercial business it is, and that's part of what makes that kind of a difficult question. So
right.
Are you talking about an office?
Well, just on a per capita basis. You know, if you're in a community that is, let's pick San Francisco, far more business than residential versus one of the suburban communities where there's the support business, but not a lot of other stuff going on. Just the difference in the composition and the challenges that folks in your guys' industry have trying to accommodate these varying demographics.
Well, definitely the messaging is different when we're talking about resource reduction to them because each business, as Jill was saying, is going to be different with how you're going to talk to them about resource reduction, not producing as much waste. And it's certainly different with how you're able to get the message to them as well. And we find in residential is very easy because you're able to send information right to the person that lives at the home and, like at a single address. It's very easy to get information to them about that. In a commercial setting, it's hard to get everybody that's like working in an office setting to do the same thing. To get them to do things with resource reduction. The other challenge is for us are about apartment buildings and multifamily homes or rentals. If we end up having programs that we have available to them, it's difficult to get the information to them because they do not receive. We typically send the information to the people that have the bills.
I got a weird question. Another weird question. These people that feel that somehow if they leave their furniture on the sidewalk that somebody wants it.
Well,
beds, recliners, sofas, TVs, what else is microwaves,
mattresses?
Ovens. Yeah, mattress and box spring, yeah.
Carpet?
Haven't seen carpet. Stoves. And I suppose you could say wrecks also. parked in the gutter rather than on the side. What is going through the psyche of some of these people thinking that they just throw their stuff out there that somebody's going to come by and clean up their mess?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because some of that might be that people are taking advantage of part of the service that Recology gives if they have garbage services that they're able to have two bulky item pickups per year with their service.
Oh, okay.
So there's two-yard pickups per year that they can have to get rid of that kind of thing. But also there's the people that don't have that information that those are available. And there's certainly no reason for that. I mean, there is always a way to have somebody to come and pick it up. And the Waste Authority, I'm sure Jill will tell you about the services that they have for people to take it there easily. So,
well, I think that, Brian, you're asking kind of, what's in the mind of somebody that's doing that? And I think sometimes people have a tendency to default that if I want to take my stove, if I want to take my flat screen TV, if I want to take my mattress in to be disposed, if they didn't want to or they were unable to use Recology services, I think somewhere people think that it's really expensive to get rid of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And the reality is we'll take mattresses for free. We're taking, appliances unless it's got... like Freon for refrigerators or something, we have to charge people for that. But most appliances will be accepted at no charge, so the wash machines and the dryers and whatnot like that. E-waste it's $2 for a flat screen TV, regardless of the size. It could be that 72-inch screen TV that you want to, you know, upsize from. There is an upsize from that one. I can't believe it. But you know, it's $2. It's a flat rate. And it's 5 cents a pound for the rest of the e-waste. And we're going to be taking a look at, you know, how we can lower that even further in the upcoming years.
Lower than $2?
Lower than $2. And it's the same thing with, you know, hazardous waste. You know, we have, we've now expanded our services so that we're open 6 days a week so that we'll take your household hazardous waste and there's no charge up to, you know, to the 15 gallons. So you bring us 15 gallons and less and there's no charge. And
now, when you say hazardous, I know it's kind of like an ongoing running gag for me that somehow paint is now hazardous. Okay, are we talking paint cans or are we talking about things that glow in the night in the backyard that have been there for decades?
We don't take radioactive waste.
Okay.
But, you know, certainly, you know, if you've got, if you were a backyard hobbyist and you were using muriatic acid, for example, hydrochloric acid is the other name, or nitric acid, there's a lot of this material that's still around. Pesticides or herbicides or any of the other sorts of cleaning and solvents that people have used in their home, too. There's really no reason for it.
Are they supposed to call?
Yes, they've got a call to schedule.
Not just kind of lean it out against the can or the telephone pole.
Right, and we'll pick it up the same day as your...
Leave a sign says this one.
Yeah. You know, so I think that a lot of it is that people are just sort of unawares or they haven't really, you know, thought that the industry, too, is changing. The industry is recognizing that we need to make it easier to get rid of this material.
So how... I mean, prices are going up. How can you offer additional services at lower prices and still, you know, keep the doors open?
It depends on the product. When you're talking about paint and you're talking about mattresses and you're talking about some tires, we've been able to get, you know, programs. So if you go buy a mattress today, you're going to pay $11 for box spring as well as the foundation. That money is being set aside and held by the state of California, and then they reimburse us for the cost to make that program happen. So people are going to be paying upfront more. It's the extended producer's rights, and that helps to enable to make sure the material is being taken care of proper. Same thing with the tire amnesty. We've been able to get grants. We'll be kicking off another tire collection program in the upcoming year. So if there are tires that people have in their backyards that are serving as fantastic, you know, mosquito breeding habitat, get them out of there. Get them taken care of properly. Right.
Oh, but, you know, I found, no.
Yeah.
Half a bag of soil, and there it is, and it's contained, and you don't have to worry about termites.
That's true.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Jill and Linda from, parts unknown. What about the changes that are going on? You know, typically this time of the year, we're hearing about new laws, new regulations, new this, new that. Is there anything new that's out there that we need to pay attention to?
Well, one of the things we want to bring up today with was about recycling, if I could. One of the things is that we still are continuing with our diversion efforts for the stuff that we're purchasing and the packaging that we have. During the holidays, we want to remind people to be able to get a resource. They can come to our website and go to the whatbin.com service there so that they can see what item they can enter in, what item that they're interested in recycling, and we'll tell them what can to put it in. But one of the things I do want to emphasize during the holidays is, this is a time of year that we're producing a lot of wrapping paper, Christmas cards, and those kind of things. Unfortunately, those are not recyclable. So I ask them not to put it in the blue can any longer because we're having difficulty finding markets for those. Mm. And that is causing some problems with us being able to keep the cost low for still having the recycling services out there. So
put it in the old, good old garbage can,
please.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of speaks to, the need to be more simple in most of our approaches. You start picking up wrapping paper that has glitter, guaranteed it's not an item that's going to be recyclable because it's going to be seen as a contamination and there is no market for being able to recycle it or get it into sort of post-consumer.
Not hazardous material contamination,
not hazardous material.
But just
yep.
in the
yep.
paper stream.
And that's why we want to make it really clear. This is around, the recycling. So, keeping things just more simple, it's going to allow the ability to recycle more material.
I suggest to people to use an old newspaper supports the printed news and use that as a wrapping paper instead.
Unwrap it carefully so you can reuse it.
Or use a reusable bag of some sort. Or even better, I always tell people use maybe
bags.
A bag that you can use over and over again.
Yeah. And you've got those recyclable bags, too.
I've given you some.
Whoa,
I've turned you into a convert, huh?
Still Catholic. Convert, okay. Thanks for coming by, ladies.
All right,
appreciated it.
All right, Happy New Year.
Yeah, yes. Oh boy, here we go again.
2020.
See everybody on Monday.